Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and reading from verses 52 to 71. This is a portion of a dialogue between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish leaders and people, especially in respect to his teaching about, of course, the Lord's Supper, but also about salvation, as the Lord Jesus Christ describes his ministry, his salvation as the laying down of his life, and that is the means by which salvation comes. So, picking up the dialogue from verse 52, John chapter 6. Therefore, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread shall live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. And then reading also from the catechism, found in the back of the Psalter hymnal on page 32 and Lord's Day 25. So it's a new section that we're beginning on the sacraments. So questions 65 through 68. You confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and in all his blessings. Where does that faith come from? The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it through our use of the Holy Sacraments. What are the sacraments? Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God, so that by our use of them, He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel, and might put His seal on that promise. And this is God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life, by grace alone, because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. Are both the word, the preaching, and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Right. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and through the holy sacrament, He assures us that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? 2, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Dear people of God, the importance of true faith in the scheme of salvation is a very vital and important truth, and the Catechism addresses it over and over and over again. Many questions and answers, beginning, of course, in question 21, what is true faith? Many of the questions and answers are devoted to explaining to us what faith is. And this is one of them. As we begin the sacraments, the Catechism wants to make sure that we understand where that faith comes from and where it doesn't come from. The false gospel. That it doesn't come from works. Doesn't come from being of a certain nationality. Is not dependent on one's lineage in terms of parents. All of which people mistakenly from time to time believe. So the Catechism regards this as a very important truth to convey to God, to warn and protect against error. And certainly in the Reformation that is the case, because, as you know very well, that was one of the slogans of the Reformation, a rallying point: salvation by faith alone. And so we can see, even from the early church, then all the way up to the 16th century, it still was an issue. Still was something to be defended and taught. And so it is today. The same error persists today, where people think faith comes in from all different sources. And the scriptures keep calling us back and reminding us that that is not the case, that we're not to waste our time pursuing those paths, because they will never, never grant to us faith. Faith comes from one source alone, and it comes to us from God Himself and the working of God's Holy Spirit. So as we move towards and enter into the whole discussion about sacraments, then the Catechism wants to make sure that we understand this arena in which we find ourselves in now as we consider the sacraments, that this is one error that we have to avoid right off the bat. Right as we enter the doors of these truths, we need to make this point, lest people start looking at them with an eye towards receiving faith by using the sacraments. And you can understand that, because the Catechism is being written in the context of the Roman Catholic Church. It's being written in a time when there was a separation from the Roman Catholic Church by the Reformed churches, and they were used to this. They lived their whole lives under the Roman Catholic Church. And they thought that the sacraments communicated to them faith, communicated to them salvation. that they actually received forgiveness of sins through the taking of the Mass, or that their infants received cleansing from sin through the water that was used in baptism. So given their background, it's understandable that the Catechism takes the time to warn them, to teach them, of this error that was so easy to fall into. And of course, this passage and the Lord's Day and this whole teaching was very important also in the New Testament, in the sense that it did cause a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of the persecution in the early church came exactly over this issue of the sacraments. I mean, they had to meet hidden anyway because of the persecution. But then the Jews criticized them for being cannibalistic. This is my body. You have to eat my flesh. You have to drink my blood. I mean, when people want to persecute you, they'll find something, right? So this was a ready excuse. The Romans used it too to persecute Christians. And so it's important for us to understand, what did Jesus mean? I mean, his own disciples, right? His own followers, we're told in this passage, left him at this point. Because he said, you have to drink my blood and you have to eat my flesh. And then there was a 12 left, so he spoke to the 12. Well, even one of them, he says, was a devil. So it caused difficulties for them, not only for the Jewish leaders who criticized what Jesus was saying, but even for his own followers. So it's important then that we take the time before we get into the actual sacraments themselves, baptism and the Lord's Supper, to look generally at the sacraments and the purpose of the sacraments. And so the first thing we want to get to is this point. How are the sacraments related to faith? What's the connection between the two? Well, first of all, the sacraments cannot and never were able and never were designed to create faith. The sacraments cannot create faith. The sacraments, we might say, since faith is the means by which God's blessings are communicated to us, we can say that salvation doesn't come through sacraments, through baptism or by the Lord's Supper, or as, of course, they heard about it in the Roman Catholic Church in terms of the Mass. So in the Roman Catholic Church, they don't call it the Lord's Supper. It's the Mass. It's a sacrifice. It's the actual sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that continued suffering on the cross. And that, of course, is a problem not only with the Lord's Supper with respect to the Catholic teaching, and not only the Catholic teaching, remember, because with baptism, there are people in the Reformed faith that have this same kind of error, that somehow the baptism itself forgives sins, just as the Roman Catholics teach with respect to baptism, that it actually takes away sins. Well, if it actually takes away sins, then it must give us faith, because faith is the only avenue. And so by the doing of those acts, they believe that it must create faith. And so the Catechism puts that error to rest by clearly teaching us that that is not the case, and never was, and never will be. So where does faith come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Nowhere does it say that it comes from the participation in the sacraments. Not at all. But the sacraments have been elevated to that kind of position. As I said, not only in the Catholic Church, but outside of the Catholic Church too. So we haven't got an axe to grind just at the Catholic Church. We have an axe to grind against any church that promotes that error, whether it's within the Reformed circle or not. We've used this example before, but I think it's very apt and it's very clear to understand. If the body is dead, you can pump as much food into that body, you will never bring it to life. Never. It's just not going to happen. So if a person is dead, spiritually dead, no amount of celebrating of the sacrament, even if it was the real body of Christ, it would make absolutely no difference. It will never produce life. So in a sense, that's the picture of the error that people have. That's the futility in which they engage when they think that the sacraments are going to save them. They just persist in going to these things with this thinking that the more I do it, the better chance I have of being saved, or I'm being saved more and more. But it's just as laughable. I mean, not in a funny kind of way, but a sad way, that they're engaging in something that makes not one iota of difference with respect to their salvation. It'll never happen. God never designed it that way. Jesus didn't mean for it to be that way. Right? When they complained, he said, look, I'm not talking about my flesh and my blood. Flesh and blood isn't going to do it. Eating something isn't going to do it. I mean, Jesus said that, didn't he? When they complained that the disciples didn't wash hands. Not that it's wrong to wash hands, you understand. But Jesus said, look, when you eat food, even with some dirt on it, I mean, what difference is it going to make to your spiritual life? Yes, it may affect your physical life if you eat poison. But it's not going to affect your spiritual life. It goes in, it goes out. You take out the nourishment, it goes out. No, what's important is what comes out of the heart. What's important is the condition of your heart. Food will never do anything to that. And so the catechism says, look, the sacraments cannot produce faith. Absolutely not. And so if you have any kind of leanings towards that way, any kind of superstitious ideas about the sacraments and your faith, the catechism wants to put that straight. There's no connection in terms of the creation of faith. It will not create faith. You can be here every time we celebrate the sacraments until you die, and it's not going to make one difference with respect to the creation of faith. So if you don't have any faith, then the sacraments are not going to do anything. But we do have the sacraments. The catechists are going to talk about them. The scriptures speak about the sacraments in terms of the Lord's Supper. So they do have a purpose. So what is their purpose? If they don't create faith, why have them then? Well, the catechism tells us why. Even though they cannot and were never designed to create faith, they do have a purpose. They confirm faith. So going back to our analogy, if a person has life, if a person is alive, we cannot argue and say, you already taught us that if a person is dead, you can pump all the food into them and he'll never have life. So food is of no importance whatsoever. No, that would be a wrong conclusion. If a person has life, food is very important, as is evidenced by our relationship with food every day. Right? We eat it every day. No, not because we think it's going to give us life. It doesn't give life. Because if it did, then the dead body would receive life. No, it doesn't give life, but it does sustain life. In fact, if we don't eat for a certain length of time, then that's what's going to happen. We're going to die. So the sacraments are important. But if we use them in a correct manner, they have a very important function with respect to the Christian life. They are given by God to confirm, to strengthen our faith. And we need it, don't we? Because life is not easy. Life is full of struggles. Life is full of ups and downs. The best of us have this roller coaster experience with respect to our Christian life. Then there are times that we begin to doubt. There are times that we begin to stumble, even as the psalmist says. That when he looked around at the world and his own life, he said he nearly stumbled. He started questioning, or at least beginning to ponder this question, whether it was worth living a holy life. Because the wicked people seemed to have it so easy, and everything was going their way, and those that lived holy lives were in such a turmoil. And he wondered whether it was worth it. This is the psalmist. And so we all go through these experiences, and the devil surrounds us, and he begins to lob all kinds of accusations against us and manipulate us and intimidate us. And in those times we need confirmation. Those times we need to feel the arm of God around us, His embrace. We need to hear those words. No, we need to see those things. We need to see them in tangible ways. Because when our minds are filled with all kinds of doubts and worries and concerns, it's our eyes that can see more clearly than our brains can think. I mean, that's the way it is in school, isn't it? If you can remember that far back, some of you. When we're in school, we had these wonderful textbooks, and it laid out all the truths in the textbooks in terms of whatever subject we were studying, especially in the sciences. And so all these formulas, and this is what happens, and this is what happens, and, you know, wonderful. And then we would have these 3 hours in the lab. And you think, well, you know, we've just learned this. Is the truth going to be different when we get into the labs? No. Are they going to teach us any different laws than when we go? No, we're not going to teach you anything different. So why do the labs? Because the labs make those truths tangible. The labs help us to see what we see written on the page. It helps us to, it in a sense, materializes the truth. And that is much easier for us to remember and associate with than just written things on a page. Nothing new, but in a different way, in a more accessible way, in a way that sticks in our minds. And that is the way that it's in the sacraments, part of it. So that these things are confirmed to us. They're written forcefully in our minds and in our hearts. And as I say, in the struggles of life, we need an easy access to the truths of the gospel. And so God picks this wonderful way so that our thoughts can relate to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through our use of the sacraments. So the catechism goes on to teach that the catechism, the sacraments are signs and seals. They are used to help clarify to us the gospel promises. And what a wonderful avenue God, the Lord Jesus Christ, chose to symbolize this wonderful teaching of the gospel. Something that we do every day. I mean, not that we sit at home and celebrate the Lord's Supper, you understand, but we engage in eating food and drink. That's something everyone relates to. Everyone does every day and multiple times. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out what is being communicated to here. Just as you need food to survive physically, so we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is to us. It's life. Without the gospel, it's death. Just as without food, as I've already alluded, is death. So without the Lord Jesus Christ's gospel, without his life and death, it is indeed death. And so when we think about the gospel and our relationship to it, the sacraments put it in ways that everyone can understand. You're not related to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no part in his death on the cross. You have no life. You're dead in your miseries, in your sins. You have nothing to look forward to other than eternal death. It's only a matter of time. I mean, in a sense, you're experiencing eternal death now. It doesn't come in all of its form, but that's the portion that you're experiencing now. But it can change. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have a place at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have an interest in his body and in his blood as they were shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so the catechism, as I said, and the scriptures make it very clear then, this message, as Jesus said to the disciples, you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood. You have no part of me. You have no life. You have to do that. This is not an option. This is not just for the holy people. This is not just for the leaders. This is for everyone, just as the analogy of food is for everyone. It applies to infants. It applies to seniors. It applies to everyone the same. And so we have to understand the message that God has for us in the sacraments is you need me. You need me every day. Some churches do it every week. Fine. But the point is, you need it every day. That's the point. Every day we need it. And so every time you eat food, our mind should go back and remind us you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Life comes to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should drive us to him. The sacraments should drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we understand them, that's what they should do. They should lead us to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Trust in him. But not only do they confirm the gospel promises, the sacraments and our celebration of them and participation of them certify those promises. They're signs and seals. So the sacraments are not simply jolting our minds to remember certain things. They certainly do that. But it's more than that. The sacraments, in a sense, give God's stamp of approval on you, individually, on you. That God not only is that teaching of the sacraments communicated by the visual celebration of the Lord's Supper, as you see the bread and you see the wine, and as you see yourself taking those and eating them, reminder of the purpose of food and therefore the purpose of the sacraments in terms of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has a message for everyone that participates. We all understand that we need food, physical food, right? But if we don't eat it, it doesn't do us any good. I can have all kinds of degrees in terms of nutrition. Fat lot of good that does if I don't actually get down and eat the food. I mean, a family can have wonderful meals. But if the children don't sit down and actually eat, it doesn't do anything, does it? You have to eat. So with the Lord's Supper, it's not just communicating the truth that, oh, here's God's provisions. No, no. We have to participate. We have to eat those. And as we eat those, there is that personal connection. That God is putting his seal. And as you celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we will do in a couple of weeks, and as the elders come round to you with the elements, there's a message there that they're communicating. As representatives of the head of the church, when they bring the elements around to you, they're making a statement that the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are for you. That you are to partake. If we know that there are people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't go to them and present them with the elements. In fact, we make an announcement in the church, don't we? That those that don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't believe in him, ought not to eat. It's not for them. We don't welcome them. Not that we don't care for them, but it's not appropriate for them to partake of the elements. So when the elements are brought to you, God is giving that food to you. And it's a seal. It's something tangible that says to you, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. Here, take of his body and of his blood. So that's a wonderful blessing that we need, as I said, with the struggles of life and the doubts that the devil sows in our minds. I mean, if the devil says to the Lord Jesus Christ many times, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, do you think he doesn't say that to us? If you're a child of God, you did this? If you're a child of God, is that the way you should live? You failed in this, you failed. I mean, he comes at us all the time. He can't raise a finger against us in the presence of God. He's not going to get anywhere. But he thinks he can get away with it with us. He thinks he can point all kinds of things out in our lives and lead us to a false conclusion, namely that God doesn't love us, doesn't care for us. And so we have to live our lives with all those kind of accusations. What a blessing it is to have those things countered by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to us and saying, here, you are a child of God. Eat, drink. And not only, of course, in the sacrament, I mean, we have that in a tangible way, but we have that same truth communicated every time we come to church, every time we're sitting in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are received not only just as public coming in, but as members of the church. That message is communicated to us, that we're the people of God. That here I am in the midst of God's people, and they regard me as a member of their church, as a brother and a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important ministry of the church, fellowship between believers, a recognition that we are the children of God. And to express that in terms of our relationships with one another, and of course the Lord's Supper teaches that too. Our form reminds us when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's one bread. Why? Because we're one body. Because Christ has united us, not only with himself, but also with one another. And so as we sit around one table and we share one meal, it reminds us that we are all the family of God. And therefore, sons and daughters of God. And so that is magnified when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. When we worship, of course, we're sitting there, nobody, you know, knows. We don't come individually towards people and make that statement. But in the sacrament, it becomes tangible. In the sacraments, we come round to each and every one that is a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we communicate that message. And it's a message, as I said, that we all need so that we can benefit and rejoice in that wonderful seal. I mean, that gets us a little bit into this point that the Catechism is making too. Is the point of the Lord's Supper, the sacraments, is their purpose the same as the purpose of preaching? In other words, is there a dichotomy between the sacraments and preaching? I mean, do they have different purposes? It says no. Because both the sacraments and the preaching of God's word have the same purpose. Which is what? Which is to direct our faith to one source, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to communicate to us that salvation comes from no other source other than the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what the scriptures teach. You have to drink my blood and you have to drink my flesh. There is no other flesh and blood that you can go to. It has to be mine. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. That's what both the sacraments and preaching should do. So if we raise one of those aspects higher than the other, then there's a mistake here. Then we're engaging in superstition. If we think, as long as we come to the sacraments, who cares about preaching? As though somehow they had two different purposes. They don't. They're communicated to us in different ways, yes. But what is communicated is exactly the same. So if in preaching you don't find your focus the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's something wrong with preaching. If when you celebrate the sacraments, you don't have that same end, which is to focus on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, there's something wrong with the celebration of the sacraments. Now, each should point us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each should point us to his body given for us for the forgiveness of sins. Each should lead us to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in superstition, not in the bread, not in the wine, not in the exercise of celebration, the Lord's Supper, as though that's going to save us. Or for that matter, being at services and hearing preaching, that somehow the more sermons we hear, the more holy, the more saved we become. That's an error just as much as the other one. Not just being in church. No, no, no. I mean, if that was the case, then Judas would have been saved. I mean, he was with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. But he wasn't saved. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to him as a devil. I mean, there were many others, hypocrites, right? They followed, but then they left. But here's one that stayed. Out of the 12, one of them was a devil. Because he didn't have faith. His trust wasn't in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in something else, some vision, some dream that he had. But it wasn't in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he gave up on that dream when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do and taught them, he wasn't interested. He didn't see it as salvation. And so he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. No, 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 both the sacraments and the preaching should serve the same purpose. To lead people, to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only source of salvation. That we should trust him. That we should look to him for the forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life. No, there should be no superstition over the sacraments. That's not what they're intended for. But to confirm our faith, to explain to us in a clearer way, in a tangible way, the teaching of the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, what is the relationship to the institution, how the Lord Jesus Christ instituted. We speak about the sacraments as avenues of grace. Now, if they're avenues of grace, then surely it should be clear that direction is from God to us. I mean, we don't give God grace, right? If they're avenues of grace, then the grace is coming in one direction. It's coming from God to us, not the other way around. So the sacraments are ways in which God communicates his grace to us. Which is important because sometimes it seems that we have this notion that the sacraments are intended for us to communicate something to God. I mean, those that view baptism as a dedication of their children to God, as the essential purpose of baptism, surely have it wrong. They're giving something to God. That seems to be the pervasive understanding of baptism. Well, that's not an avenue of grace. Avenue of worship, yes, but not of grace. No. Both the sacraments are means by which God communicates grace to us, both in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. It's we receive from him. We don't give him anything. Yes, we're thankful, grateful for what he's doing, but we don't give him anything. So it's not us giving God our children, baptism. Is God giving to us the wonderful privilege that our children are included in the covenant when really they don't deserve it? They're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. But God, in his grace, receives our children into the covenant, into a relationship with himself. That's not us giving anything to God. That's God giving to us. I will be a God to you and to your descendants. That was a promise that God made to Abraham. It wasn't a promise that Abraham made to God. So just that simple understanding that sacraments are avenues of grace from God to us puts us in the right frame of mind when we come to the sacraments. People of God, we come with open hands to receive from him. Not to give him anything, but simply to receive from his wonderful hands grace. And it is not up to us. Again, remember that the catechism was written in the context of separation from the Roman Catholic Church. And so they added this warning too, that the sacraments are not things that we institute. It's not things that we come up with. Because if they are avenues of grace whereby God gives his grace to us, then how is it possible that we can come up with sacraments ourselves? We can't. Since grace comes from him, and it's his by right, and we have no right to it apart from his love, then it's for God to institute those avenues. And so he said, how many sacraments are there? And the catechism says two. And why? Because those are the only two sacraments that we can go to the scriptures and read about God instituting them. The church didn't institute them. I mean, we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of Passover, the last Passover that he celebrated, he instituted the Lord's Supper. He went from the one to the other. So it wasn't the church didn't come up with it and say, oh, this is a good idea, it'll be helpful. No. God did himself. Christ did himself. So also with baptism. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that commissioned his church, his disciples, to go out into all the world and preach to God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They didn't come up with it. They didn't think, oh, we need some sort of badge for membership in the church, so let's pick baptism. No. Christ did it. And so this notion that there are all of these other five other sacraments that the Roman Catholic Church has instituted themselves that the Reformed Church has rejected because they had no basis in Scripture. I mean, they have nothing against marriage. They have nothing against ordination. But they're not sacraments. They weren't instituted by God as sacraments. That is for the purpose of communicating grace and focusing our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important as we go into this section of the Catechism that speaks about sacraments that we be clear in our minds so that we don't fall into the pitfalls that people have fell into, churches have fell into, and still persist in those errors. We need to be clear what sacraments are so that we can benefit and receive the grace that God intends for us and to use them correctly so that they will strengthen our life. They will confirm our faith and strengthen our faith so that we can serve Him better and faithfully. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the way that you have thought about us, the way that you have provided for our every need. And our Father, we appreciate the fact that you take into account that we are people that live in a material world, and a lot of information is taken in by our physical senses. And so we are thankful that you've granted to us these avenues by which we may understand more clearly the rich and wonderful promises of the gospel. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the sacraments, that not only do they help us to understand, but also that we can participate in them and see in a very tangible way what is happening spiritually, moment by moment, day by day, in our Christian lives, as we are fed by you, by your body, by your blood, by faith. And our Father in heaven, we pray that in the struggles of life, in the difficulties that lie ahead of us, that we will never fail to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ and not have this superstitious idea that we have to wait until the sacraments are celebrated in the church, but that by faith, we may indeed participate by drinking and eating the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ and receiving nourishment for our souls. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would grant us faith that we may feed upon him, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen.